Galatians chapter 3. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 1. The one who is clothed with Christ is precisely Abraham's descendant and the heir according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 29. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, "And to seeds, as of many," but as of one, "And to your seed, who is Christ." And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose, then, does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Saints, what is the first word that the Apostle Paul throws at the saints of the Galatian church with such a strong tone in Galatians chapter 3? O foolish Galatians! Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. This single word is not a simple rebuke. Inside the Apostle Paul's heart, there was full of spiritual sorrow that could not bear to just watch the sight of the Galatian saints being dragged back under the curse of the law. There is one thing I want to ask you today as well. Where is your soul firmly staying right now? Is it settled on the one way of the gospel of the water and the Spirit? Or, without even knowing it yourself, are you moving step by step toward the way of deeds, the way of prayers of repentance, and the way of the law? The Apostle Paul is asking us this one thing through the entire chapter of Galatians 3. The foolishness of the Galatian church and our foolishness today. Saints, what is the foolishness of the Galatians that the Apostle Paul rebukes? They were clearly people who had received the removal of sins by hearing and believing in their hearts the gospel of the water and the Spirit preached by the Apostle Paul. However, they could not stay exactly in that place, and their hearts were drawn to the fleshly circumcisionists who came in from the outside. They were accepting a different gospel, saying, "Believing in Jesus alone is not enough. You must receive one more ritual of putting a knife to your own flesh to finally become God's people." Everyone, is this foolishness a story that ends as an old tale? No. Even within Christianity today, there are countless people who believe that the sins they commit are washed away time after time through their own prayers of repentance. That way, which believes that the sincerity, frequency, and amount of tears of one's own prayers of repentance determine the degree of their blotting out of sins, is spiritually exactly the same place where the fleshly circumcisionists of the Galatian church stood. It has merely changed its form and entered our era. What is the reason the Apostle Paul cries out sorrowfully in verse 1? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. It is the sorrow of asking why, when the event of Jesus taking upon himself all the sins of humanity at once and dying by shedding blood on that tree of curse is so clearly revealed before our spiritual eyes, you think that you must add a piece of some deed to that clear event for righteousness to be completed. Everyone, does this sorrow enter you? Abraham's faith and our faith. One way crossing through the eras. Who is the person the Apostle Paul brings in from verse 6? It is exactly Abraham. Abraham is a figure from 430 years before the law was given, and moreover, a person who was already recognized as righteous even before receiving fleshly circumcision. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Genesis chapter 15 verse 6. That is, Abraham being recognized as righteous was not something that happened from deeds, but the single act of accepting the word God spoke exactly as it was into his heart. Saints, what does the Apostle Paul say in verse 8? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." The Apostle Paul is calling that word of promise God made to Abraham by no other word than the gospel. The gospel did not appear for the very first time only when it came to the New Testament era. It means that the identical gospel was already proclaimed in advance during the time of Abraham. Who stood in the very center of that gospel? Verse 16 clearly nails it down. He does not say, "and to seeds, as of many," but "as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." That is, all those eternal blessings promised to Abraham gather into one person, Jesus. And that blessing flows exactly as it is only to those who have entered into him. Everyone, therefore, what does it mean that we have the same faith as Abraham? Just as Abraham received the word of God, promised to him exactly as it was into his heart, we too receive the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which Jesus himself fully accomplished, exactly as it is into our hearts. That is all. That is simply all. Jesus, who redeemed us from the curse of the law. Saints, please read verse 13 again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Here, one crucial spiritual discernment is needed. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23 clearly states, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." However, Jesus was originally one who did not have even a single spot of sin. If so, how could one without sin be hung on the tree of curse? There is only one answer. Before Jesus was hung on the cross, the event of Him already taking over all the sins of humanity, exactly as they were into His body, must have happened first. Where did that event happen? It is exactly that baptism He received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River. The event where John the Baptist, who was established as the lawful representative of humanity, laid his hands on Jesus' head and passed all the sins of humanity to Him at once, according to the law of the laying on of hands, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 16, verse 21, happened at that time. Jesus received the imputation of those sins exactly as they were. And from then on, until His death on the cross, He continued His ministry while bearing all the sins of humanity in His body. Everyone, will you listen? If there had not been the baptism event at the Jordan River, the death on the cross could not have been our redemption. However, because the event at the Jordan River happened first, the precious blood of the cross could finally become our eternal price for sin. Therefore, our redemption is not an event of the precious blood alone, but the gospel of the water and the Spirit itself, where the water, the blood, and the Spirit combine to form one truth. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. From the law, the tutor, to the one descendant of the promise. Saints, if so, what on earth is the law? Verse 19 clearly answers, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions." The law was not the word added to make people live, but the word added to honestly reveal people's sins as sins. Verse 21 nails it down once more. "For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law." It is a subjunctive mood. That is, it is a definitive conclusion that a law capable of giving life was never given from the beginning. Then, what was the duty of the law? Verse 24 compresses it into one word. "Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ." The original Greek text is pedagogos, which is a word pointing to a servant in Hellenistic society who took responsibility and brought a young child until they met the main teacher. The law is not the main teacher. It is merely a temporary companion that accurately brings us to Jesus, the main teacher. Everyone, therefore, the definitive declaration of verse 25 must come out exactly as it is from our mouths as well. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Because the law has completely finished its duty, the authority of the law no longer reaches us who have received the settlement of that duty. Those baptized into Christ, eternal children clothed with Christ. Saints, what does verse 27 say to us? "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." This single phrase is the conclusion of the entire chapter 3 of Galatians. What is the baptism spoken of here? It is not a word pointing to the one ritualistic water baptism that each one of us receives at church. If that were so, the event of everyone who received the ritualistic baptism automatically becoming eternal children should happen. But isn't it true that this is not the case? This baptism exactly points to that baptism Jesus Himself received at the Jordan River. The word, "as many of you as were baptized into Christ," is a word pointing to the spiritual fact that our hearts have been united into one body within that baptism Jesus Himself received. Inside that event at the Jordan River, where all our sins were passed over to Him, our sins went in together and were settled. Inside that event where He took all those curses upon Himself on the cross, our punishment also went in together and was settled. And inside that event, where he resurrected and became eternal righteousness, we too rose together and became firmly settled upon the status of eternal children. As a result, what was clothed upon us? Have put on Christ. It is not clothes woven stitch by stitch by human deeds, but the eternal righteousness itself of the one person Jesus has been clothed upon us, like a single suit of clothes. For the person wearing these clothes, no external condition, no lack of deeds, and no frequency of prayers of repentance can become a reason to shake that soul again. It is because the righteousness of the one who wove the clothes is a righteousness that is never shaken eternally. Everyone, look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. In front of these clothes, all external discrimination becomes powerless. Inside the one person Jesus, everyone receives the identical eternal righteousness and comes to stand together upon the identical status of eternal children. And the decisive finish of verse 29 follows. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This single phrase is the one phrase that organizes the conclusion of the entire chapter 3 of Galatians at once. Conclusion: the soul staying with the one person Jesus. Saints, what is the message that Galatians chapter 3 throws at us? The beginning is faith, the end is also faith, and our righteousness, from beginning to end, is not human deeds, but the eternal righteousness received inside Jesus. The law was a thankful tutor that accurately brought us to Him, and inside Him, we became free people firmly settled upon the status of eternal children. Where is your soul firmly staying today? I hope you pull your feet out step by step from the heart that pins its hopes on prayers of repentance, the heart that tries to supplement righteousness with the degree of sanctification, and all attempts to make righteousness with one's own deeds, and exactly align your heart upon the one place of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, where Jesus received the imputation of all the sins of humanity at once and eternally at the Jordan River, personally took all those curses upon Himself on the cross, and resurrected from death to become our eternal righteousness. We, who have been baptized into Christ, are eternal children clothed with Christ, and eternal heirs who have received the blessing together with Abraham. I pray with a gathered heart that our souls will firmly stay upon this fact eternally.